starting a brand new series today, and reminds me of a story when I was a lot younger, but still in the pastorate, and we went to this canoe camp. I was a counselor there. There's another guy there. He's actually the main speaker for this whole deal. And we were taking a break. We were on we climbed out from this rushing river, and I was taking a break. I was sprawled flat on my back, and this guy, he is fun-loving, big dude, and he comes and he jumps on top of me and says, "Come on here, so I hear you're a tough guy. Let's wrestle." And so I'm just laying there flat on my back. My son was young at the time. I think he was 12 or 13, and there's all these, you know, junior high kid campers watching us, and my inclination is, you know, I wrestle competitively, you know, in school and stuff like that. And so I already had a plan. You know, first of all, the guy was top heavy on me. It's too close to my head. I could easily reverse him, lock him up, and throw him in the river. I already knew that, and it would have been fun. But as I was thinking about this, I thought about those little eyes that were watching us, and I also knew, you know, fun-loving things can get earnest before you know it. And I was playing through the thing of two ordained pastors starting to froth at the mouth in competition with each other at a youth camp in front of all these little ones. And and so what I did, I just said, I chuckled, I says, nah, just get off me. And he didn't. He just sat on top of me and he smiled. And so I thought of another plan, and I thought, you know what? I'm a grown-up. He's a grown-up. I'm a pastor. He's a pastor. We need to think differently on this. And so what I did is I just smiled back, and then I reached down to his bare leg, and I grabbed the hold of the hairs on the back of his leg, and I just tugged a little bit, and he got off really quick. Yeah. And so I got up and I handed him his hairs back, and, you know, but it just reminded me of this whole thing that if you're a follower of Jesus, really who you are is an ambassador. And when you know who you are, look at your notes, when you know who you know what to do. When you understand who you really are, you can grab your New Life notes from your programs and get them out. And I'm talking to the video venue people as well as our live venue crowd here. You know who you are. The problem is, especially to followers of Jesus here today, I'm just convinced that so many don't really know who they are. You know, they kind of dabbled around with, you know, Jesus is in my life or whatever, but they don't really understand who they are. And a lot of times they try to make a big difference, just like in that story there, two pastors doing this. Well, what difference should that make? But our culture, we make a huge difference between this dude up here who we call pastor and anyone else out here who happens to be a follower of Jesus. We create this huge double standard, isn't it true? It is. And whether you call him a pastor or a priest or a padre or whatever, you create this huge double standard that's there that's really not in the Bible. Because what happens is people say, you know, John, but I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a regular gal. I'm not a pastor or a holy man or priest like you. But the point is this, if you feel that way and you're a follower of Jesus, you don't really know who you are. Because there's nothing regular about you if you are really a follower of Jesus. Nothing regular about any of you here that happen to be there. Now, in a crowd like this, we always have many who are not, or you're not sure, or you don't know where you stand, and you are so welcome, and New Life is designed for you also. To where you can know a lot about what you do at work, but just don't know a lot about the Bible or God, this is a great place to be. We do not dumb it down, but we try to make it clear to where you know who Jesus is and what the claims of Christ are. That's another name for Jesus. So there's nothing regular about you, because the Bible says that if you're a follower of Jesus here today, you're filled with the same spirit that actually regenerated the body of Jesus Christ and resurrected him from the dead. That very same spirit is in you. That's what the Bible says. The very same spirit. And you have free access, direct access, line to God. I mean, I was trying to get a hold of Amazon.com on a real phone number to talk to a real person. Do you know how hard that is to do? with some of these websites, you know, you got to have the magic, you know, link or whatever, and you're hopping through all of these things. And then I finally got a hold of someone not from the United States, you know, but I'm trying to eventually get a hold of someone in, you know, Seattle area maybe. But you know, the deal is with God, the God of the universe, you get a hold of the man of the whole universe. You have a direct line, is what the Bible says, and you have authority to use his name, so there's nothing regular about you. And so when you know who you are, it clears up a lot of confusion. It's a confidence builder. It's clarity of what you are to do in life in any given situation. When you know who you are, then you will know what to do. And what I mean by that, maybe not specifically for a specific plan or a specific decision, but ultimately what is most important, you will always know what to do if you know who you are. Because when you come to the end of your life, you will realize the things that you did do were really the most important. The things you're in a tizzy about really were not that important in the economy that God had. So in this series, today we're going to look at being an ambassador. Next week we're going to look at the idea of masterpiece, and we'll learn more about what that means, about we're created to do good works. Week after that, we're going to the whole idea of overcomer and ways to overcome things that appear to be insurmountable within our lives. Week after that, we're going to talk about the metaphors. Have you ever heard of someone say, they're just the salt of the earth? Have you ever heard that? Comes right from the Bible. So many phrases and things we use actually come from the Bible. But we'll also look at the phrase light of the world. And then the week after that, it'll be by mid-July, we're going to sum it all up with what it means to be a disciple. A disciple. Because that is the main thing. Jesus said, be my disciple, be my follower, and then go make other people to become disciples. Not mindless robots, never is it that. It's really finding out who you are and then following after that with your whole heart, mind, and strength. So, kind of a foundational passage on that, and you find in your New Life notes, Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Meaning a follower of Jesus in relationship with Jesus is this. Everything in your past is forgiven. Isn't that cool? And you get like a brand new slate. You know, for some of you, wouldn't it be great if you could just get a brand new slate on your credit score? Wouldn't that be great? You know what I mean? We're just going to bequeath you with an 800 on your credit score, you know? But this is kind of what you get in life as a whole. It's kind of like the idea of chrysalis, where you have a caterpillar, and then it becomes, you know, a butterfly. It's a really cool thing to see, but it's crazy to see a butterfly crawling around. You don't want to see that. You know, a caterpillar crawls around inches along, but once they become a butterfly, you want to see them flutter. You know, like monarch butterflies, these live in Monterey, they're beautiful. And it goes on to say, and God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And reconciliation means you build a bridge across the chasm to restore connection, especially with God, with the divine. That's what the original meaning of this was 2,000 years ago. So it's taking what was once broken and restoring it to something new, not just mended, and then you become right with God. So the message that we are given then, if you're a follower of Jesus, is being able to have the capacity to communicate with your world, with your group of friends. I mean, the group of friends, when you're really just hanging out, maybe at Starbucks or somewhere, and you got that little group, that is your world where you become this ambassador and be able to talk in terms of the reality of who Jesus is in a way that makes sense to them. And that brings us to the next verse. And therefore, as Christ's ambassadors, we do this as though we are making his appeal, as though he's making his appeal through us. That doesn't mean you become a robot and your voice changes and this thing's coming out of your mouth and your mouth isn't moving like you see on old sci-fi stuff, okay? We're talking about through your personality, the very spirit of this universe works through you to talk with other people about the good news of who Jesus is. When was the last time that happened in your life? When was the last time you really feel God talk through you to someone else about this good news that people can be closer to God in their life? And so, therefore, as Christ's ambassadors, we do this. And then, jumps down. God has made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And because of what Jesus has done, it's made us better people, not because of our own efforts or reading good self-help books. It's who Jesus has really done within our life. So let's just look at this thing just for the next few minutes we have here on who do you think that you are, especially if you're a follower of Jesus here. Well, write some of these things in, would you? First of all, you're an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth, even though you're born on earth here. Paul, when he wrote this during the time of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago, there were two type of provinces out there. There's what's called the senatorial province and the imperial province. And the senatorial province was areas that the Roman Empire had got into, but it was really peaceful. And so there were not even troops that were needed here. It's called a senatorial province, and they had a certain word, legati or whatever in the Latin, where a guy would be assigned to represent the Roman Empire government as a whole to go into this territory. But there's another type of territory, and this is a turbulent territory. Maybe it was more recently conquered, or just the people were much more contentious. And this was not a senatorial province. It was an imperial province, meaning this. The guy didn't represent the government as a whole. The guy was appointed to go here. He was appointed directly by the emperor. And he answered to no one else but the emperor. You know, you could think in terms of military, someone black ops or whatever. And he does it cuts through all of the chain of command. And the only person he will answer to is the president of the United States or whoever. Okay? And that's really the term Paul uses here. When you're an ambassador of Christ, he says, you have direct access to the emperor of the universe, and he has given you direct orders, and you answer to no one but to him. You are an ambassador of Christ. You know what? The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. Believe it or not, the United States of America might not last forever. Did you know that? It's a country now. It's a sovereignty right now. It will be called probably an empire someday in history. But it will not last forever. But Jesus said, heaven and earth might pass away, but my words will not pass away. And what you do for Christ will last. What possesses your thoughts, your energies, your time, everything, is it consumed with building the kingdom or your kingdom? And how long will your kingdom last? Sure, I get it. You need to make a living. I understand that. But what was done for Christ will last. And so, you are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Another one, as Christ's ambassador, we are not elected by people, but chosen and appointed by God. Why is that so important? Because if you sit down with your friends, even in my family, and say, do you know I'm an ambassador of Christ? Do you see me that way? They're going to look at you and go, no, you are messed up. There are things wrong with you, you know? And you know, and they won't be wrong. But if you just listen to your family and to your friends, you will always just keep your head down and go, oh, for what I know about you, you ever call yourself that? And they'll just start listing things about you and whatever. But you know what? We're not righteous out of our own doing. We're righteous because of the grace of Jesus Christ, and he shed his blood for us. And you cannot minimize that. You cannot minimize that. That is what washes away our sins, not our self-efforts, not I'm just a good guy. Because deep down, if you push hard enough in the right circumstances, the Bible says no one's righteous, not one, not any of us. If you push hard enough and deep enough, but we become righteous through Jesus Christ. And so, the cool thing about this, it says in the Bible, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Do you think there's a lot of things that we invest our whole life in are going to become things that don't last? Not really. I think so. But it says here, there's a way that your life can have fruit and significance forever. And I believe it's going to deal a lot with other people. I remember as a kid, I used to get in trouble in school. Did you know that? I did. But I remember the coolest thing, it didn't happen a lot because I wasn't trustworthy. But sometimes the teacher would give me a hall pass and to where I could take something down to the office or whatever. And so I'd be walking down the halls, and I used that to greet all of my friends, you know, because we had windows in the doors. And so as I was walking down the hall, I'd peek in every classroom, and I'd point at someone, knock on the window, you know. And then the teacher would come to the door, and I'd just kind of, oh, wrong room, and I'd show her my hall pass, you know. And it was just like my green light, you know. So, Harris, what are you doing? Get over here, you know, show them my hall pass. That was the coolest thing in the world. And in a way, I think that's a bad analogy, really, for what I'm talking about. But this whole thing is you've been chosen. You are an ambassador, and people might look at you suspiciously, but you really are. You represent who Jesus Christ is. It says here in another passage, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. Now, what is that whole thing about? That whole thing is about a guy named Paul, and Paul's name used to be Saul, and Saul was a murderer. Saul used to like to arrest Christians and throw them in jail, and the implication of that for many of them is they lost their lives. And now Ananias says, hey, I want you to take this guy in and help him, because God had done a dramatic thing in Saul's life. Saul was a terrorist, and there had been a dramatic change in his life. Just like the founder of Hamas, you know, in Palestine, Hamas, many call it a terrorist organization, his own son has found Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It's an amazing thing to see. This is something much more dramatic than that. And so, but God had chosen him as his instrument. God has called New Life to raise up a hugely diverse group of leaders, because that is the urgent call for the 21st century. This is why God has put together a church that is so multicultural, multi-economic, it's multi-ethnic, it's multi-spiritual. People have an incredible different backgrounds in their spiritual walk, but God has called us from the very beginning to be an ambassador. It means to be multicultural. To be an ambassador means to be multi-ethnic. It means to have an understanding that goes beyond just your little comfort and circle. And so this is a great place to be making a statement to the world that that we love one another, and not just people who I'm familiar with, not people that just are like me, but we truly do love one another. I think New Life is a great example of that, and will be that for the future. So God has chosen us as an instrument. So you're not elected by people, but you're chosen and appointed by God as Christ's ambassador. The final thing here is you never represent yourself. You will always represent God. You'll never represent just yourself. You always represent God, because we've become so self-conscious. And what my image and how my reputation and how I come across. And you know what? Sometimes when you represent Christ, your personal reputation might take a hit in the eyes of some people whose priorities are not in the right place. They might have a lot of money. They might have a lot of power. They might have a lot of prestige in this world. But as you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, your personal reputation might take a hit. But the kingdom will be proud of you as you represent Christ in this world. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Does your life represent Christ? Has your will been surrendered to him? Look, there's no double standard here between a pastor and someone else. If you're a follower of Jesus, it means that you have the same call. If you're an ambassador of Christ, you have this call on your life. So, you know, take Paul over and over again. He said things like this. He says, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I just preach by the power of the gospel, he said. I'm the least of the apostles. But look at the passage here. It says, I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. And you shouldn't be either. If you're a follower of Jesus, if there's something wrong, you should stand up for that. The church at its best always stood up against any authority that violated the law of love in the gospel of Jesus Christ. A great example of that, the church is at its worst and the church at its best, was the history of the civil rights movement in the United States of America. That was a movement of reform that was rooted in the best of the church. It was not a political thing. It was rooted in the local church that then became defined as political. But truly, it was a biblical principle and understanding at its very roots, which is this: love one another. And how can you love one another when you have such separation? And you have people in their own little walls addressing a Jesus that they make and feel that looks just like them. It has nothing to do with building the kingdom of God. And so the church at its best has always been courageous to use its authority even when it was inconvenient or when it was resisted. You know, I was in Nigeria a few years back. And in Lagos, which is a city of 20 million people, and they have an infrastructure for maybe 2 million. We're stuck on a freeway. They have like 5 lanes on each way going in and out of Lagos. But for them, lanes and directions are up to interpretation, okay? And so when people are wanting to go in or out of town, many times you'll have 10 lanes, 9 lanes will be going one way and 1 lane will be going the other. And so the chauffeur I had driving me, don't try to drive there. You just don't do it, okay? We were driving like 80 miles an hour going down the fast lane, in the fast lane, 80 miles an hour, against traffic. And he drove across the median and then started going down the fast lane. And I couldn't believe it. He goes, this will get us there quicker. It'll get us there. And I kept thinking, where? Heaven? But then there's such gridlock that could happen. I have such respect for this young man. There was one young man. Now imagine if you're trying to direct traffic in your street clothes, people are going to run you over. There's like some crazy guy out in the middle of the road. But if you have a uniform and a badge, you know what? And in Nigeria, you have a uniform and a badge and an AK-47 on your arm. No, it's the real truth. But there were thousands of cars in gridlock. It was amazing. I mean, it was like we sat there for 4 hours and didn't move. And riots started to break out. This one cop, out of his authority, just started shouting orders at people and brought calm and chaos. He represented order and peace. He was a peace officer in that situation. And I had such respect for him. And you know what? You are called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And people around you need to have a new start. They need to have a clean start. They need to know that there is hope. There is a place that God can bring peace in their life. And God is going to work through you. Do not back away from the authority and the power. God has raised you up. God has called you. And I know you say, I'm just a regular guy. I'm inconsistent. I'm not perfect or whatever. Well, welcome to the dude talking to you from up front here, okay? All right? But somewhere you just need to declare that. I am an ambassador of Christ. I know who I am. Therefore, it clears up a lot of the confusion. I know what to do. Maybe you don't know what stock to buy. Maybe you don't know what car you should buy. But for what's the most important things in life, you will know what to do when you know who you are. And the first thing I'm telling you today, follower of Jesus, you are an ambassador of Christ. So today we're going to celebrate some baptisms. And this is a great time because these people are saying to everyone, you know what? I've arrived. I'm perfect. I'm a saint now. Yeah. No way. No way. That is not what it is. Or the dude that's going to baptize them. Okay. What it is saying is, for whatever reason, God has changed my heart by what he's already done for me. I'm on my way. I'm in process. I don't have all the answers, but I know who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I want everyone to know that. So that's a cool thing, and that's what we're going to celebrate right now. There's a little pull off to the right here in the live service, and you'll be able to see that, and we'll celebrate that together. Let's have a word of prayer. Father,